The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts: Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد النور المبين وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل وألهمنا رشدنا يا رب العالمين الحمد لله. We are continuing in our daily Rawha to look at some of the beautiful and amazing guidance of the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and specifically in the hadiths that we're looking at, we're looking at hadiths in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we looked in the last hadith that we took, which is hadith number 27 of this collection of Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani's, at, we read 28? Yeah. Okay, sorry. Hadith number 28, which is of an important sunnah that is neglected in our time, right? Which is the importance of asking one's questions, right? That it happens that sometimes something is unclear or something is confusing. And in this case, this, you know, the narrator of this hadith, Abu Abdullah Ad-Daylami, he had some question about destiny, the reality of destiny and what relates to it, divine decree and human responsibility. So he sought out the companions, right? And he sought out the senior most and most learned of those companions, right? And that's an important sunnah. So the next hadith, which is hadith number 29, an ibn Mas'udin radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It's related by ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Annahu qal, allamana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khutbat al-haja. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the khutbat al-haja, the sermon of need, right? That when one has a particular need, one feels particularly needy, right? Then this is a way to begin, right? And one can begin this for a khutbah that one gives oneself, right? That's one aspect of khutbat al-haja. The other is even in dua, right? Even in dua, because this khutbat al-haja is an expression of neediness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is established and it is recommended. But it is not the sunnah of every khutbah, as is clear from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet ﷺ gave many khutbas. Did he always begin with this one? No. Right? So, yes, it's done, particularly when it's connected to some haja. Right? One wants to emphasize something really urgent, something really important. So that's when one would begin. Some urgent reminder. Right? Some particular admonition. But it is not somehow a general opening, which is why if you look in the works of the greatest scholars, they didn't always begin their books with this. Actually, they didn't even usually begin their books with this. Right? The Prophet ﷺ didn't always nor usually begin his khutbas with this. And there's actually no dilala in the hadith for that. There's no indication in the hadith of that, nor from the practice of the early Muslims. We have many of the khutbas of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Uthman and Sayyidina Ali? Did they always or usually use this khutbat al-haja? No. It's called khutbat al-haja because it's the sermon or the khitab or the address for when there is need. Right? For when there is need. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ So the Prophet ﷺ taught them, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ Right? So it begins, Truly, all praise is Allah's. We praise Him. And we rely upon Him, and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves. Whomever, من يهده الله, whomever Allah guides, there is none to lead astray. ومن يضلل الله, and whomever Allah leaves astray, there is none to guide. Because what is guidance? Guidance is for Allah to take one towards that which is pleasing to Him. Right? Guidance is created by Allah. And if Allah does not create the guidance within one, one is lost. Right? But there are asbab, there are means of seeking guidance. وَأَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ And I bear witness that there is no God, but Allah. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship, none free of need of any other, whom all are in absolute need of, except Allah. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ And I bear witness, bearing witness, one is absolutely certain, without doubt, that Muhammad is his servant. Right? He is his perfect servant, his most beloved servant, his most chosen servant, وَرَسُولُهُ And His messenger, his final messenger, his greatest messenger. And then he referred to the Quranic verses, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ O you who believe, be mindful of Allah with the mindfulness that He deserves. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُم مُسْلِمُونَ And do not die except in a state of complete submission. Or except having attained complete submission. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا O you who believe, be mindful of Allah and say words that are true, that are rightly directed. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ He will rectify for you your deeds. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ And He will forgive for you your sins. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has succeeded with tremendous success. So, of course, these two verses contain a summary of guidance. They're an affirmation of need. Why? Because if you see they give us the keys to the fulfillment of need. Praise of Allah, right, expresses gratitude, right, and entails relying upon Him, recognizing one's shortcoming, seeking protection from harm, acknowledgement of the need for guidance from Allah, right, affirmation of Tawheed. Then, what are the fruits of Tawheed, right, or the keys to the fruits of Tawheed being manifest, taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And asking Allah to realize that within us and seeking to fulfill that, right? Which is what the first verse, O you believe, have taqwa of Allah as He deserves. Of course, when the Sahaba heard this, they were shaken. And you can see the related hadiths in the chapter on taqwa in Riyadhus Salihin. And they said, Oh Allah, Ya Rasulullah, we can't fulfill this. But if you consider what Allah deserves, how can you have taqwa of Allah as He deserves? And So the Sahaba are coming from a sound vantage point. They say, Ya Rasulullah, we cannot do that. Like, it's overwhelming us. Some even said, we cannot sleep. And the Prophet ﷺ began, you know, rebuking them. That, will you say to me, as the Bani Israel said to their Prophet, سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا, that we hear yet we disobey. But then Allah revealed, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verses, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, be mindful of Allah to the best of your ability. مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, to the best of your ability. Right? Because what Allah deserves is that you have taqwa of Him as He deserves. Right? That's what Allah deserves. But what does He accept? That you do the best that you can. Because He's merciful. But even when you do the best you can, you realize, even when you do what you're responsible for, you do the best you can, Allah deserves better. حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. And strive to attain complete taslim, complete surrender to Him. Right? إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Right? Having attained complete submission. O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Be mindful of Allah and say words that are true. We see from this that a key, one of the most important keys of taqwa, is committing to upright speech. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, let them say what is good or remain silent. فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Saying words that are of benefit, bereft of harm, that are keys to good in this life and good in the next, and nothing besides. If you do that, right, and this is a condition and consequence. Do this, have taqwa of Allah and say words that are true. What's the consequence? Commit to taqwa, rectify your speech, right? Make it sadeed, make it straight without crookedness. Yuslih lakum a'malakum. He will rectify for you your actions. Right? So this is a condition, shart and jawabu shart. Yuslih lakum a'malakum. He will rectify for you your works. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And He will forgive for you, through that, your sins. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed succeeded. Fawz is success. Fawz is to win. Has succeeded with فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Right? What kind of foes? And those of you who study a little bit of grammar, you know what kind of expression this is. فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Right? Has succeeded with tremendous success. Not just any old success. Right? Succeeded. And success is itself, like, what else do you want but success? But this is not just you've won. Right? If life is a race, if you obey Allah and the Messenger, you've won the race. But there's not just any victory. This is fawzan azima, the truly tremendous, yeah, the manifest success. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whoever, some of the mufassirin explain that these Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this verse two keys to obeying Allah and His Messenger. Commit to taqwa, and commit steadfastly to upright speech. If you do so, Allah will rectify your actions, forgive your sins, and this constitutes obeying Allah and His Messenger. If you're committed to obeying Allah and His Messenger, what are the keys to it? Commit to taqwa, rectify your speech, which is why a standard practice in all spiritual paths would be al-ihtimam bil-lisan, bi-hifz al-lisan, to guard one's tongue. And I would counsel myself and each of you to regularly review the fiqh of speech. Right? Because it is clear from the sunnah that the key to paradise is your tongue. as is clear from so many hadiths, amongst them the hadith of Sayyidina Mu'adh when he went asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to clarify for him the pathways of good that would facilitate paradise and distance from the fire. And the Prophet ﷺ, you've asked about something tremendous, but it's easy for whomever Allah makes it easy for. And the Prophet ﷺ then detailed the ways of good. And then what's the pinnacle of good? But then he asked, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى مِلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّ Should I not tell you what all of this depends upon? All the ways of good, the prevention of all harm, the facilitation of paradise, being distanced from the fire, the pathways of good, the pinnacle of good, all of it, what is it dependent upon? Sayyidina Mu'adh said, Bala ya Rasulullah, do tell me. He said, Kuffa alayka hadha. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guard this. Right? Sayyidina Mu'adh was surprised. Are we taken to task for what we have to say? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you not understand, O Mu'adh? Thaqilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh. May your mother be bereaved of you, O Mu'adh, which doesn't mean literally, it's not a dua against him, it's a dua for him, or it's ta'ajjub. It's amazement. That don't you get it, O Mu'adh? Are people dragged to hell by their forelocks for other than what their tongues have harvested? So this is why it's such this meaning that committing to taqwa, upholding straight speech is the key to all other rectification. So this is, and this is an amazing reminder as well, but and it's good to incorporate sometimes in one's opening khutbas when, you know, one is, when there's a sense of urgency or need being highlighted. The 30th hadith, an ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, it's related from Ibn Umar, from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أدنى أهل الجنة منزلة لمن ينظر إلى جنانه وأزواجه ونعيمه وخدمه وسروره مسيرة ألف سنة. Right? So it's related from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Ibn Umar that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the least of the people of paradise in rank are those who look at their gardens, what they have been granted of gardens and spouses and blessings and servants and joys to the extent of 1,000 years of traveling, alfi sana, right? That norm in this dunya, it would have taken 1,000 years to travel that distance. That's how expansive, arduha kaard samawati wal ard. Its vastness is greater than the heavens and the earth. And that's the least of them, right? Wa akramuhum ala Allahi taala man yanzuru ila wajhi taala. غُدْوَةً وَعَشِيَّةً or غَدْوَةً وَعَشِيَّةً and the most honored of them to Allah are those who look to His countenance mighty and majestic by morning and by night. So some of them took by morning and by night, meaning once in the morning, once at night. That's a sort of the fuqaha's way of interpreting it, because you do إِثْبَاتُ الْأَقَلِ, you affirm the least. But another meaning of Ghadwat and Ashiya is by morning and by night. Right? By morning and by night. Right? And how much by morning and by night and how constantly? It depends on one's state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم قرأ, then the Prophet ﷺ recited, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٌ Faces on that day will be radiant. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ to their Lord gazing. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا right? And here, of course, part of the tashrif, the honoring, to their Lord. And why is Allah referred to there as their Lord? This idafa is of tashrif, is of honoring for the servant. Because the servant who is gazing upon their Lord is the one who knew their Lord in this life. And to what extent will one gaze upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, which is the greatest joy, to the extent that one knew Allah in this life. Rahu Ahmad, Rahu Imam Ahmad wa Tirmidhi. This hadith was related by Imam Ahmad and Imam Tirmidhi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this highlights both the vastness of divine mercy, this hadith, but also what one should be striving for. What one should be striving for. Right? That there's high levels of striving. عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال له يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. حديث number 31, and this is one of the most comprehensive hadiths, and this is hadith number 19 in the 40 Nawawi. And they say it's one of the most amazing hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the amazing things about it, of course, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this hadith to Ibn Abbas when he was a child. And he addresses him in the hadith, Ya Ghulam, O young boy. And the Ghulam is someone around the age of 10. A little less, maybe a little more. He was a child. And this tells us a lot about parenting. That the Prophet ﷺ raised children. He didn't dumb down children. He said to him, and other narrations that detail it out mention that he was kuntu ridfa nabi ﷺ or kuntu khalfa nabi ﷺ. I was riding behind the Messenger ﷺ. And he told him, Ya ghulam, O child. And, or he may have said, Ya ghulayyim. In some narrations he said, O little young man. Ya ghulayyim, in the diminutive. Inni u'alimu kalimatin fahfadhunna. I'm going to teach you some words, so remember them. And Ibn Abbas did. Ihfadillaha yahfadhk. Be mindful of Allah, and He will be mindful of you. And literally, hifz is to guard carefully and protect and preserve. Or one way to, it's sort of an American way of translating it, watch out for Allah and He'll watch out for you. And this is how Sheikh Nuh recently translated it. Watch out for Allah. That's what hifz is, to watch out for something. Which is, that's why memorizing is called hifz, because you watch out for something so carefully that you don't forget it. Ihfadillah. Be mindful of Allah, He will be mindful of you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Remain mindful of Allah, and you will find Him before you. Meaning that you will behold Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And that's haqiqatul iman. True iman is أن تنقلب العلم عيانا. The reality of faith is for the knowledge of faith to become beheld realities. So you don't just believe that Allah is the creator of everything, but you behold that. So you don't see creation and then say, oh, it has a creator. True faith would be you behold the creator first, subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask, ask Allah. Meaning in reality, you're only asking Allah. If you ask any other, ask Allah first. See all others as mere means granted and facilitated by Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you seek assistance, if you rely, rely on Allah. Everything else, you pursue the means of facilitation, but you don't place your heart except upon Allah. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ قَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. And know well that if all people, right, if they gathered to benefit you in anything, they could not benefit you except with something that Allah has written for you. So don't rely on them. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. And if they all gathered to harm you in anything, لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ, they would not harm you, إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. They could not harm you except with something that Allah has written against you. جُفَّتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَرُفِعَتِ الصُّحُفِ. The pens have dried and the pages have been lifted. رواه الإمام أحمد والترمذي والحاكم. So don't see لا نافع ولا ضار إلا الله. There's none who benefits and none who harms except Allah سبحانه وتعالى. There's none to hope, none to fear, none to rely upon except Allah. فخالق لعبده وما عمل موفقا لمن أراد أن يصل. Right, as Imam Laqani says in Jawhar al-Tawheed, for he is the creator of the servant and all that he does, granting tawfiq, granting the facilitation to whomever he wants to reach, right, to reach whatever they're seeking to reach. So this is an amazing hadith. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali wrote a complete book in explaining this hadith. Nur al-Miqbas fi sharhi wasiyati Ibn Abbas. Right? Because there's so much in this and in the larger commentaries of the 40 Nawawi. And every house should have a copy of, you know, Ibn Rajab's commentary, for example, the Compendium of Knowledge and Wisdom. You know, they have dozens of pages in explaining this, right? Because there's so much from the early Muslims related to this meaning. So we'll stop here, and tomorrow, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll continue from hadith number 32. We'll take hadith 32 and pause for today. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سلوا الله من فضله. So Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه relates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, سلوا الله من فضله, ask Allah from His bounty. فإن الله يحب أن يسأل, for Allah loves to be asked, to be asked, for Allah loves to be asked. وأفضل العبادة انتظار الفرج, and the best of worship is to wait for opening. رواه الترمذي. So سلوا الله من فضله, ask Allah from His bounty, because faith would entail two separate meanings when it comes to dua. One meaning that faith would entail, that if you have complete certitude in Allah, why would you ask? But if you have complete slavehood in Allah, how couldn't you ask? Right? These are two competing considerations. Why would you ask if you know that He is, right? There's nothing in the heavens or in the earth except that it is upon us to provide for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So why do you have to ask? Right? This is the eye of certitude to say, I don't need to ask. But the eye of slavehood would say, I have nothing but You. So you would ask. So there's two competing considerations, the eye of certitude and the eye of slavehood. But one can be short-sighted, which is why one asks with slavehood combined with certitude. So it's not the asking of the uncertain. And if one doesn't ask out of certitude, it is a certitude with complete neediness upon Allah. But the basis is to ask. The basis is to ask. Sometimes one may not know what to ask, and it's a permission not to ask out of certitude. But that certitude should have, it's not certitude, oh, He'll take care of it, I don't know. It's a certitude with neediness. Right? With neediness. Sayyidina Ibrahim didn't ask. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam did not ask when he was thrown in the fire. Hasbuhu an su'ali ilmuhu bihali. It's sufficient for him, from my having to ask, that he knows my state. But that's an exceptional case. And sometimes we may find ourselves in these moments, but they say, in those moments, the adab of such a moment is to busy oneself with some ibadah. Like sometimes one feels overwhelmed. You don't know what to ask or where to begin. So, the normal adab in that, if you don't know what to ask, busy yourself with some ibadah, with Qur'an, with dhikr, with prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ relates in the hadith Qudsi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَنْ شَغَلَهُ ذِكْرِي عَنْ مَسْأَلَتِي عَطَيْتُهُ أَفْضَلَ مَا أُعْطِي السَّائِلِينَ. Whoever is busied by my remembrance from asking me, I give them the best of what I give those who ask. This particularly in those situations. Sometimes one feels restless or overwhelmed, which doesn't know what to ask. Some situations are so complicated, you don't know even what to begin asking. Right? So there, one with certitude and with slavehood, one busies oneself with Qur'an or with dhikr or with prayer, and that's the adab. But the general adab is to ask Allah of His bounty. Right? Of His bounty, because Allah loves to be asked, and it's, you know, when asking Allah for, because He is the most merciful, right? For Allah loves to be asked. And the best of worship is waiting for opening, meaning to have complete patience, complete gratitude, complete reliance and trust that Allah, if you have asked, Allah will give you how and why and when. You leave that to Allah. You don't question, but you, and also to wait, because one of the adab is sometimes Allah is answering, but you're not listening to the answer, because you are seeking your answer, not His answer. So, oh Allah, make my business succeed. But it keeps hitting a wall, and Allah is giving you an answer. The answer is, consider another opportunity that He is sending you. But sometimes if we're stuck on that, I want this, right? If the door is not opening, there's another door that's open. Right? So the adab there, right, is not to have over-avidness. It's to wait for His opening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us insight. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi. So we'll continue from number 33. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And those who look ahead a little bit, once we're done with hadith number 40, so this week, we may be finishing this section, and then the next, or within the week we'll be finishing the section. The next collection of 40 hadiths is on the virtues of the Qur'an and its recitation. Walhamdulillah.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.